This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's just minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hey, good morning, everyone. From the CenturyLink Center in Omaha, Doug Duda, Larry Baker, and the Doug and Daddy Show Friday edition from the State Wrestling Tournament. We've got plenty to talk about today. It's the opening day of Fodder Park. We'll be talking with track announcer Steve Anderson. We're going to take a trip out to the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. Pitchers and catchers are reporting. Mike Perenio, the director of the Race and Sportsbook, will join us towards the end of the program as he usually does. We'll have the updates wrestling tournament as we have classes A and D wrestling at this time. And we'll take a look at Storm Hockey, basketball from last night for the Huskers and UNK. We'll give you the sights for sub-districts that have moved on to the district finals. We've got high school hoops tonight going on as well here on ESPN with Adams Central in action taking on Kearney Catholic. And then tonight, the semifinal round and third round wrestlebacks, the money round, coming up at 5 o'clock on Classic Hits 98.9. But let's talk about what else has happened in the world of sports. Again, Tri-City, they're going to be down the road in Lincoln tonight, then they host Lincoln tomorrow, and then they're at Sioux City in a battle with the number one team on Sunday afternoon, and you'll hear all that action on the Breeze, 94.5 FM. A couple of nice baseball wins yesterday. UNK and Nebraska both came from behind to pick up wins. The Lopers win 5-4 down at Central Oklahoma, and the Huskers beat BYU by a score of 6-3. And those series will continue today. In fact, it's a doubleheader for the Huskers and BYU Cougars. Also, the Nebraska men, and I'll admit, with the wrestling last night, I didn't get to watch one single second of it, but reading from some of the people that were texting me and some of the reports out there from overnight, Nebraska might have got a little homer job out there at Maryland. Your thoughts? They play them tough, a nationally ranked team, one of those things when you think, Larry, when you're the big underdog and nobody's paying attention, that's when you can come out and bite them on the ankles, and Nebraska lost by four last night, but still, it's a loss, and they're sliding hard.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. It's a loss, and in a season when things were maybe even supposed to be better than what a great season last year was, this has been a little bit of a struggle for Nebraska, and there's a loss in some spots maybe they shouldn't, you know, and you wonder kind of what's happening there. But right now, they are starting to pile up to where things aren't probably going to end this year the way you want them to. You had the big win last year over Wisconsin that really propelled you. And I don't know that that's in the cards.
Now they're in trouble of not even making the NIT, right? which even I did not think would be in that car, sitting in the cards. And they put the brackets up last night, Big Ten Network talking about some of the matchups. Purdue is this year's Nebraska. They are sitting in third place right now on the men's side. And if the conference tournament started today, Nebraska would be the 11 seed. And frankly, folks, it doesn't matter if you're 11 or 14. If you have to play in the opening bunny bracket game, the new way that they're doing it with the 14 teams, the 11 would play the 14, which is Rutgers, and 12 would play the 13. Then you would advance on into day two, and then everybody plays on day three. I mean, you wouldn't even be catching up to the top four seeds until day three. You just cannot be in that 11-14. I mean, somebody will be, but you cannot have any dreams of advancement of anything with your program if you're in that 11-14 slot. And the games left on the schedule are not easy. They'll host Iowa Sunday afternoon. That should be a raucous atmosphere, but Iowa has way more to play for than Nebraska does on Sunday.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you talk about that, being in that tough spot, especially a team like Nebraska, where they've been kind of streaky in a sense, but more off and on, and when you're really inconsistent, the last thing you can put yourself in a position to do is have to play all those games in a week and expect to be successful.
Well, we've got a lot of wrestling going on here as well. And again, UNK basketball last night. Bronick and Brozick get the job done as they beat Emporia State. The Emporia State nationally ranked women, they beat UNK. The home finale, Fort Hays State. The Hays women are ranked fifth in the country. Tony Hobson, the head coach there at Hays. And then the men will play after that. The Hays men are 15-9, but Lopers, big game for them when it comes to seeding for the MIAA tournament. So that'll be the home finale for the Lopers Saturday night, 5:30 and 7:30. There's also a little track and tennis and softball. UNK softball is up in Minnesota for five games starting today, and they are already underway up there at Minnesota with Holly Carnes and her crew. Hastings College also keeping busy. Their basketball teams are back in action tomorrow. The baseball and softball teams also on the road. So everybody busy in this crossover time as the winter sports season hits the postseason and the spring sports season underway here the last couple of weeks. Also, a girls sub-district basketball last night. I did not sense any major upsets from the area, and we can give you a look at where the matchups are going to be coming up on Friday in C and D. All of the games are on Friday in C1. Kearney Catholic will be taking on Central City, and that'll be at Hastings College's Lynn Farrell Arena, and we will be covering that ball game for you. In C2, Sutton and Nebraska Christian will play at Aurora. It will be Hastings St. Cecilia battling Centura at Grand Island Central Catholic. In D1 next Friday, 1 week from today, Bruning Davenport Shickley will be playing Friend. It will be South Loop taking on St. Mary's of O'Neill. That's up at Ord. Axtell and Blue Hill will play at Adams Central next week, and Brady and Dundee County Stratton are going to go down to Cambridge to play in the D1-6. In D2, Hampton will play Fall City Sacred Heart at Norris. Giltner will play Spalding Academy at St. Paul. Bertrand will play Sandhills Thedford, and that is at North Platte St. Pat's. And those are the teams from the shouting distance that will be playing in the girls' basketball district finals coming up next Friday, and we will have complete coverage on our network of stations. But I think for the most part that covers some of the sporting events out there, except I want to jump into our poll question, our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Yesterday we asked you, do you as a fan like both the traditional state tournament here in Omaha and the dual state tournament? 75% said yes, we like them both. 25% would like to see the season come to an end here today. And there is something to be said for that. If you win an individual state championship, sometimes it's hard to be focused to come back next week because you've reached the pinnacle.
Yeah, but see, here's the key to this, Doug. You know, what we're talking about is needing to have the casual fans support it to survive. Your listening area is where this thing is held. 75% of those people want it to be there. That means it's healthy.
Yes, I mean, I like it. And the wrestling season, there are a couple of high school sports seasons that are over before they begin, and I believe wrestling is one of those. We're going to be playing basketball for another three weeks. They both sports start at the same time, and wrestling goes 3 weeks shorter. So this gives them another week.
Yeah, no question. And it allows us to showcase our best in a big way.
And here is what came out yesterday. Our poll question today, Midtown Mark Cooler question at ESPNSuperstation.com. The Big Ten Conference considering making incoming freshmen ineligible for athletic competition in major sports. Is this a good thing? It's a horrendous thing.
Why?
It's a horrendous thing. You know what? If you are good enough, you can't limit somebody's potential. That's where I'm going right here. You want these athletes to go pro, and what's major sports? You can golf if you're a freshman, but you're not mature enough to play basketball.
Doug,
give me the other side.
Here's the example that I'll say, and I don't know that I'm all in on this thing, but here's what I will say. Here's the difference between golf and basketball. I do think at the collegiate level, major college sports, you've got to do – basketball's the issue. It's not football. It's not these other sports. It's basketball. You've got these kids that come to school, and they don't go to class. There is a legitimate issue here. We can stereotype and make fun. I'm being serious. There's a legitimate issue here with this deal of these freshmen coming to school. And here's the problem at some of these universities. Maybe it's $20,000 a year, and you know, they get taken up in state funds for somebody to come and not go to class. So maybe they need to address the basketball issue. We don't have that issue in football, and as you said, clearly not in golf and these other sports. You've got to attack this basketball issue where these guys are coming in and literally eating tens, well, hundreds of thousands of dollars in state funds to not go to class.
How does this affect baseball? Because baseball players have to make that decision. If you get drafted in the 40th round, you're probably going to go to college. If you're in the top five, you're probably going to go to the pros. And baseball has it where once you make that choice, you have to stay in college for 3 years. Now you have to sit out and you're only getting 2 years.
And see, I'm
what about
you,
volleyball?
You can't.
You're telling me the Rolfson girls shouldn't have played volleyball?
And that's what I'm saying. Like baseball, for instance, don't mess with that. That is a great system. Basketball should look at what baseball's
doing.
Can't
pick and choose.
Well, I understand. Well, I don't know about that.
Not in this rule.
Fair enough. Now,
if the NBA and college basketball want to come up with something like Major League Baseball and college baseball have, that's fine. But this rule is in between. You're picking and choosing, and on the rule of fairness, I don't know how you can do that.
You're exactly right about volleyball, and of course, wrestling is a sport. We now have kids come in as freshmen in these major colleges, and they're tremendous. You know, Dan Gable, you know, he only lost one match ever, and of course it was his senior year, so most people think he was a three-time national champion. He was only a two-time national champion, one-time runner-up, because back then freshmen weren't allowed to participate. This has been a rule that has been in existence before. This isn't entirely new. I agree with you. If you're going to do it carte blanche, it is an awful idea. But you have to attack this basketball thing. And I literally view it. I could care less if a kid doesn't go to class and he wants to jump to the NBA and all that kind of stuff. I understand that. But it's that you eat state funds. I have students at the school that I teach at that are great kids and get good grades, want to go get a degree. But the funding is a real issue, and you've got state funds being used by some guy that is just using this to leapfrog. In football, you have to stay 3 years. Baseball has it fixed. The rules are different in those sports. Fix basketball.
You can vote now. That's the heart of our Midtown Mark Cooter question. It is great debate and something that needs to be discussed. Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com, ESPNSuperstation.com. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, Steve Anderson from Fauner Park. It is opening day of racing season. It is a lot nicer today. It was a little bone-chilling yesterday, especially if you're, you know, a little slenderer guy than one of us. But and by the way, you probably even got a little cold last night.
I'm telling you, walking out, I was so happy because it's hot up here. So I was lathered up through the day. We walked outside, and I was so excited. We weren't very far into that parking lot, and I couldn't get to the car fast enough.
Well, wrestling stories. Again, if you're the casual wrestling fan, Kearney High took a shot yesterday. They came back pretty good this morning. We're into that second round where kids, if they win here, they're a win away from a medal in the semifinals tonight. But let's start in Class A real briefly here, Larry. Millard South has the lead. Grand Island is in the team race.
Yeah, and this thing's going to come down to tonight and possibly tomorrow. I think, you know, the finalists or semifinalists, excuse me, they only match up once, Doug. So it's a deal where you're going to have to take care of your business and hope you get help if you're on either side. Kearney's making a big run here today. They've lost a couple here, but Kearney's stuck themselves back into the top five where they belong, and Kearney's fighting to get a trophy here.
Well, we've had a lot of guys do some good things out here, and we're going to continue to check that out. Class B, because of a couple of kids that were suspended from Omaha Scott, this got a lot closer. They have a one-point lead over Plattsmouth, and Scotts Bluff's only 3.5 back.
And if Plattsmouth and Scotts Bluff come out and wrestle tonight, Doug, this may cost Scott a team title. If those two teams come out and wrestle tonight, you know, 6 and 5 are the number of semifinals those two teams have versus Omaha Scott Catholic. They only have 4, so this B thing could be big.
Then in Class C, that's always a great race.
I tell you, and we say it every year, we get the great Class C Classic every 12 months. I mean, those points are so spread out. Class C is so deep and so competitive. And again this year, kind of a cool piece. We get, you know, that old-time good pantheon of Class C wrestling, or somewhat B. You know, Valentine was in B, but we get Valentine, David City. I still think that's what it comes down to. David City's got more big top-end points, in my opinion. Valentine's deep, and they got going yesterday. Very well coached, Shane Allison, Jason Kelber. They've got tough kids up there, and they will claw and fight. Will be, as it is every year, will be a classic tonight and tomorrow.
And then, obviously, Amherst has run away already in Class D, so what do we look for there?
I think a couple of things here. There's a lot of really good individual stories in D this year. You know, like we've talked about, Class D is just dynamite at the top, not as deep as it's been in the past. But, I think the first thing is how many will Amherst put on the podium? Can he put all on that he brought? How many of these nine semifinalists? Putting nine in the semis is awesome, but you can win a team title, and if you go 1-8 tonight, trust me, it won't taste very good. But I think the individual things, Chris Worth, Bailey from Sutton, Lammers from Pleasanton, the Dibbern boys finally get to the finals together? Can the heavyweight from Amherst finally get to the finals, got beaten overtime? Like, lots of great individual stories coming out of Class D.
And we've also had a couple of, and it's not all, obviously, Amherst. You've got the possibility of Pleasanton and Colt Lammers getting into the finals, and you've got Jeff West with a big win here this morning.
And that was huge. You know, poor Jeffrey West, you want to talk about a tough kid. Coach's son, grinds, works hard, dreams this thing every day of his life. Sixth place finisher last year, gets beat in the quarters last night in a really close match, and then has to, because of a crazy draw, again, the Sandhills-Thedford kid loses last week, gets fourth, wrecks this bracket. He has to wrestle the returning state runner-up in the first round, number two rated kid in the state. Sandhills-Thedford boy wins, sends Tanner Fate backwards. Jeffrey West had to wrestle him this morning right off the bat, and you have a situation where Jeffrey West kicked the returning state runner-up out of this tournament, will not leave with a medal. Great job by Jeffrey West, just being a grinder, working forward. Now he needs to win again and get himself a medal.
Well, we're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. When we come back, Steve Anderson from Fodder Park is going to join us. Also, Mike Perenio at the back end of the show. We'll talk about what's going on out in Vegas in this middle portion of February. Stay with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Hi, it's Bo Huffman from your Kearney, Hastings, and Grand Island GNCs. I have been helping people with their health and nutrition needs for over 10 years, and GNC is a world leader in natural health and wellness products with an unmatched 75 years in the nutritional supplement industry. A reputation like ours is earned by providing superior products and service to every individual. Experience the difference firsthand. Plus, save 20% off your purchases every day at your Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island GNCs.
Cornhusker Honda presents a reality check. You don't have to shop all over to find your new Honda. Just head to Cornhusker Honda in Grand Island. You'll find great savings right now at America's most reliable cars and trucks. Plus, financing as low as 0.9% for up to 60 months with your good credit. That's savings for the long haul. The reality is the right choice is right here. Cornhusker Honda, just off North Highway 281 in Grand Island.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Pro Team Design. Every sport done right.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
ESPN
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see considerable cloud cover and some sunny breaks around the area as well today with a high up near 50. Winds out of the west-northwest at about 10 to 15. For tonight, we'll stay cloudy with a low of 27. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 34.
Rolls on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth as we are on the road at the CenturyLink Center in Omaha for the State High School Wrestling Tournament. Starting to wind down the morning session of Class A and D wrestling, then B and C will get going at 12:30. And I'll tell you, one of the things that the athletes love to chow down on to stay healthy, no matter what their sport of choice is, even for the wrestlers, because it can help them keep their weight where they want it to be, or you can load the meat on. That's Big Dally's Deli, home of a bazillion and one sandwiches, 610 East South Street in Hastings, right across from Duncan Field. Oh, man, it is just an institution. They've been in Hastings for a long, long time, and all sandwiches are served with your choice of freshly baked bread or bun, cheese, put your fresh veggies and condiments on, and the dill pickle on the side. How about Dally's side items? You can get the big combo meal, chips, potato salad, fruit cup, side salad. They even have homemade soup available in the cup or bowl. Desserts, cookies. You can have just a salad and soup and dessert and take care of you right there. Big Dally's Deli also offers meat and cheese trays and special sandwiches for your special event, whether it's a party, whether it's a graduation, whether it's just having some folks over to watch the game. Big Dally's Deli is the place to be in Hastings. Doug Doodle, Larry Baker with you here at the State Wrestling Tournament, and it is also opening day in Grand Island for Fodder Park, and the voice, again, of the ponies that you will hear in GI and giving us reports again on our network of stations, including here on ESPN throughout the year, Steve Anderson. Good morning, Steve-O.
Hey, good morning, Doug. I've been listening to your reports over the last couple of days, and trust me, if it wasn't for the opening of the thoroughbred racing season here in Grand Island, there isn't a place I'd rather be more than right alongside you covering the state wrestling tournament. It brings back a lot of memories back in my day when I covered from the Bob Devaney and Lincoln that state wrestling tournament in the 70s and 80s. So job well done.
Larry, we were just talking about the old Devaney still always kind of comes up from time to time, and now the Pinnacle has kind of come into the fold and even considering bidding on that. But Bakes, it is definitely settled in here to Omaha.
Yeah, no question. I don't see it ever leaving here now. And to be honest, like Steve, so many of us, that place has just got such an amazing feel for those of us that competed down there. We've, you know, those of us that coached down there, it's just such a wonderful place. But ironically enough, I really do, and I hated it here when we first came. I mean, I hated it. I really do love it here now. I hope it never leaves. And Omaha's rolled out the red carpet for wrestling, and they do a tremendous job.
Well, Omaha has some horse racing, and Grand Island takes care of that as well. Let's talk about it, Steve-O. A nice day to get the season underway.
Well, it's better than we've encountered the last few seasons, Doug. I don't think we're going to get up to near the 50-degree mark originally predicted as far as attempts are concerned today, but the track is fast, believe it or not. This little bit of snow we had a couple of days ago really did the track wonders. It can never get enough moisture in it. Unfortunately, the warmer temperatures melts any kind of an ice situation that may occur underneath, that first 3-4 inches of turf or dirt, in this case here at Fauner Park. So we're looking forward to it. It's the first of 31 days. The opener goes at 2 p.m. today, and I have to add that it's kind of a bittersweet opening. I spent all of yesterday with General Manager Hugh Miner, who gave me the privilege of releasing the story that he was retiring at the end of June, and so this will be his last meet presiding over the festivities that go on as far as the ponies are concerned. And you won't believe this, Doug. I know you're out of town, but the column that I wrote on him, which is, littered with personal commentary and my experiences somewhat with the guy that gave me an opportunity to make a comeback after 20 years of silence from the broadcasting business, graduated to the front page. So I guess I had the lead story here locally, and it's humbling. The phones have been ringing off the wall. Most of the comments that I've received have been very kind. I haven't looked at Facebook yet, though, because the critics will be out in mass on that venue, I'm sure.
Just start there, too, Steve-O. We don't have the time to talk about all the things that a great man like Mr. Miner accomplished there. But, I mean, this was his life.
For 45 years, it was his life. And the last 32, he was the man at the helm. When he took over from the late Al Swihart, I kind of refer it as a little 5/8 mile racetrack with an enclosed grandstand at that point. But you see what has transpired over the course of those 45 years, and most of it with Hugh, again, at the controls. It's just phenomenal how Grand Island, and more specifically Fauner Park, has become a destination site for a lot of people, not only here in central Nebraska, but throughout the Midwest as well. And I've told you this a time or two, and especially yesterday when I had an hour alone with him in his office, that the history books and history itself, I think, will be very, very kind to this man. He's going to be 70 years old coming up in November of this year, much more kinder than his critics. As I described it in the paper, his fingerprints are over everything that exists out at Bonner. Now we become a mega family center of entertainment with the addition of the 6,000-seat Heartland Arena, and then those 8 magnificent state fair buildings that lie on the western edge of the Bonner grounds. And I know there's going to be more expansion and more bigger and better things to come. But again, I owe everything to a guy that recognized, I think more so than I did, about a midlife crisis I was going through at age 50. It was 12 years ago. And I think, and he gave me this opportunity, and he stood behind me rock solid, as so many of his employees over the years out there would attest. He nurtured me, he shaped me, he molded me, and then he stood fast and firm, because I had a lot of folks in the early years that were having a lot of difficulty accepting me as a racetrack announcer. That certainly wasn't my original calling, and I replaced a very popular caller back in 2004. So I can't say enough nice things about Hugh Miner. I hope that I can convince him, Doug, to come on the show when I co-host with you. I think you're coming back to town next Thursday, because he's got a lot of stories to tell. And one of the surprising things I learned about him yesterday is that in his retirement, he's dedicated himself to writing a book on the history of Fauner Park. I truly hope that he sticks to his words and comes out with what I think will be a real tribute and probably will be his legacy as to what's transpired here in Grand Island.
Talking with Steve Anderson, Fauner Park. The racing gets going today, and and we will talk with you. We will be back at Bandits next Thursday, no doubt about it, and Sean Callahan will be on in town for that. That gives us a chance to poke that. He'll be in Hastings Tuesday, at Cunningham's in Kearney on a Wednesday, and then, of course, Thursday he'll be at Bandits in Grand Island. But as you look out over the track, Steve-O, you told us the conditions are good. We talked last week about the horses and the jockeys and the trainers. What do we got on this opening day and opening weekend at Fawner?
Well, I tip my hat to Racing Secretary Doug Shep. On Wednesday, it was bitter cold outside. The track had been closed for several days, again, because of the weather. And it's been kind of off and on the last several weeks with two huge snowfalls interspersed between, you know, maybe 15 calendar days. So I, Mr. Shep, struggled at best to put together an eight-race card to kick things off today. Now, yesterday was a totally different scenario. There was a lot of hustle bustle, a lot of entering, and we've got 10 races going tomorrow, which is a nice relief. But you'll be glad to note, Doug, that the first race today is a 6-furlong affair, not 4 furlongs and a half mile in distance, which is all we ever see here over the course of the first couple of weeks, you know, of the beginning of the season at Fawner Park. So anyway, I look forward to that. The track attendant, Rick Danberg, and a host of others have worked meticulously and tirelessly on getting this racetrack ready, and I think the fans will be amazed when they show up today. I know we've got a huge crowd coming in tomorrow. And, you know, I described it as a runaway train at this point. There's no stopping us now. And the ponies kick it off here in about 2.5 hours. I can't wait.
I've got a question for you. I've always wondered this. This temperature, we get extremes. You know, we know when it's very, very warm or very, very cold. Like any athlete, it will affect them. How do these cold temperatures affect the horses in running? You know, I mean, it would probably be great if it was about 65 or 75 degrees. We'd probably get the best out of them. Well, how does do these cold temperatures affect them, Steve?
Actually, Larry, it's just the opposite. They thrive in weather like this. When it gets bitterly cold, the younger horses are more susceptible to picking up colds and various ailments along those lines, but the seasoned veterans, which the majority of them are out here, they love this kind of weather. I mean, the warmer it is, the more humid it is, the hotter it is, in the dead of the summer when it can be just miserable, that's when these animals suffer the most from heat stroke, and they go to the nth degree in showering these horses down before and after the races. But believe it or not, they truly love, and I'm speaking about the horses, not the riders, but the horses absolutely love this kind of weather. If you go back to the barns on any given morning, even when it was getting down there in single digits over the past couple of days, they're kicking up their heels. They're really feeling good. It's actually an amazing sight. So I know most people probably don't buy into that philosophy. You just have to trust my 50 years of observing these animals. And so, you know, that's really the least of anyone's worries is how the horses are going to handle the cooler temperatures.
Steve Anderson, track announcer at Fawner Park, with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. More than just racing, I know there's some other events going on this weekend out at Fawner.
Well, the Tri-City Hot Rod guys are going to be in one of those state fair buildings. I apologize. I'm not sure which one, but there'll be plenty of signs to direct you to where they're going. There's a roller derby contest that is over in the Swine Arena. I think it's tonight. You actually caught me with my pants down on knowing what all the things that are going on out there. It could be tomorrow night. At any rate, there's something I haven't taken in either. But, you know, there's so many things day in and day out, literally 365 days a year that complement what goes on with the horse racing season here at Fawner Park. I think every cheerleader in the Midwest has landed at Fawner Park this morning for the next couple of days. That's an event I've never been able to take in over at the Heartland Event Center that has just grown by leaps and bounds over the course of the last 5 years. I really don't know how that competition unfolds, but there's a tremendous amount of interest there. So the neat thing about it is all these other sideshows that go on simultaneously while we're running the ponies creates a tremendous amount of traffic, and a certain percentage of those are going to wander into fodder and see horse racing for the very first time. It's created really the last two or three years just a crescendo of how we've continued to get bigger crowds at the races, bigger handles, more interest from horsemen around the Midwest who kind of use this as a send-off, a starting point over the course of the year. So, you know, what has evolved out there, again, with a lot of credit going to Hugh Miner, has just been absolutely phenomenal for horse racing.
Well, Steve-O, we'll see you Thursday then, and we'll talk a little bit more, and have a great 2015 and have an outstanding opening weekend. Okay, buddy?
Doug, Larry, it's been an honor, and as always, we can't wait to see you at the races.
Thanks, Steve. Steve Anderson, Fodder Park. Can't wait to get there as well. No place we'd rather be than the state wrestling tournament right now, but Fodder Park is right there when the sports season gets over for me anyway, Larry. Always like to see the ponies.
Oh, you can't beat a giant plate of nachos with the stuff dripping onto the table and your shirt, right? Handicapping them up.
And the losing ticket sitting right next to it to sop it all up.
That's
with.
That's exactly right.
You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Fodder Park is like no other, and so are our friends at T&L Irrigation. The 2015 irrigation season is fast approaching. Find out why so many growers are moving to T&L's hydrostatically powered pivot irrigation system. Their superior reliability, low maintenance, safety, and the simplicity of T&L's hydraulic design, just a few of the reasons why T&L should be in your field. Maybe you need one, maybe you need a new one, maybe you're expanding, maybe it's time to change. Don't waste any time, because before you know it, you're going to be planting the crops and making sure that everything is in place for 2015. Contact your local T&L dealer. You can visit them online, TLIRR.com, their worldwide headquarters here in Hastings. Learn why T&L irrigation systems are like no other. We're going to head out to Las Vegas and talk to a man who's like no other, the director of the Race and Sports Book at the Mandalay Bay in Vegas, Mike Perenio, when we return.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect the fish from his environment, the Arma Coating Spray-On Bed Liners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on 1st, on the bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Arma Coating Spray-On Bed Liner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
Custom Pack. This week at Custom Pack of Hastings, get lean, tender butterfly pork chops, only $2.87 a pound. USDA Select Boneless Beef Chuck Roast, only $3.98 a pound. And sugar-cured sliced hickory smoked bacon, only $3.44 a pound. It's all at Custom Pack of Hastings.
At Custom Pack, you're a neighbor, not a number.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. OneRocky.com.
Your customers make your business. Every day you want to attract new customers and keep the ones you have, at the same time running your business within a budget. Get noticed with help from Copycat Printing. Their design and printing teams can go big with banners, yard signs, wall graphics, banner stands, and even wraps for your company vehicles. Copycat Printing can help you stand out at the fair or conventions with a booth that will turn people's heads. If you can imagine it, they can design it and print it. Copycat Printing, 21st and Avenue A in the downtown Kearney Center, or visit their website, kearneycopycat.com. Copycat Printing. A better idea.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. I do want to throw this out as well, because I heard it on Mike and Mike this morning, and we have had her on the show, and she is a Nebraska alum. And for those that have missed it, Shelley Smith, ESPN Television, is obviously one of those ladies that has been all over the sports world. We've had her on the Doug and Daddy Show. It's been a little while, but we've seen her, had a chance to even tailgate with her a little bit at a couple of Husker games. Diagnosed with cancer. She's beginning her chemo treatments this week. And again, as we just, as we say all the time, it is just, it sucks. It has affected so many different people that in our life. And again, when it comes to the wrestling community, it's never the same without Mike Fleshman, who has helped us so much. I know that I've been honored with the Hall of Fame, Nebraska Wrestling Hall of Fame ceremony later this week. He's one of the reasons why, Larry, that I got in there. But our thoughts and prayers with our friend Shelly Smith, and there's just so many that it's affected.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you know, we just lived the Stuart Scott deal so publicly, and it is too bad. You know, we've been talking this weekend, you and I have privately, or, you know, in our moments, about Coach Bross from Mullen, who meant so much to the sport of wrestling in this state and did so much. Of course, we've lost him now to cancer, and it is one of those awful, awful things. And, you know, I always look, there's tragedy in every crisis, or excuse me, there's opportunity in every crisis. And we clearly see that it is tragedy and it is a crisis. But, you know, Doug, we get to see the best in people through this disease. I get it. It takes people from us in such a horrific way. But we get to see the best and out of people in a world, and many times when we don't look for the best. And so there is opportunity in every crisis. And, you know, we see it affect our little ones, you know.
Coach Sebrand's daughter.
That's what I was just starting to say. You know, Brian's daughter. It was 1 year ago this weekend that they got the news, you know.
Well, again, our thoughts going out to Shelly Smith, Nebraskan, just like our next guest, Mike Perenio. He spent a little time here in the state of Nebraska before going out and buying up all of Las Vegas and running the entire city. He joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Well, we are in Omaha today. The state wrestling tournament's going on out here. And I'll tell you what, you'd have a hard time handicapping some of this with 896 kids here.
Yeah, that's always a good time. I'm on a remote, I guess, today, huh?
Well, it's great to catch up with you again after the Super Bowl. You took a little time off. I want to go back to that. Super Bowl came down to a last play, and I can only imagine what it was like there at the Mandalay Bay.
Yeah, that was, well, for the fans and the guests, it was a great Super Bowl. It was one of our best results. And the only good thing about the Super Bowl was that they didn't at least look like they were going to get a safety on the last play of the game, which would hurt us a little bit. But it was, I think you could hear the screaming from Mandalay Bay till, you know, to the airport. The biggest cheers I've heard in a long time. So,
well, obviously, you know, that's how they build the lights out there. But even though it hurt you guys, reports are that it was still okay. The weekend went pretty good for books in Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, with the props and parlay cards and, oh, you know, it's not like we lost money. But, you know, we do count on the big days. And it had been many years since we've had a Super Bowl really go against us in a big way. So, but you're right. If people don't win once in a while, they lose interest in it. And it was definitely the public Super Bowl this year. And you know, when you put yourself in a position with futures, people betting to win the championship and the divisions and the conferences, and then throw in the props and the parlay cards. We're usually going to make a little bit of money, so I guess both people, both us and the fans, had a good week, and it was a great game.
Mike, do you get a lot of action already on next year on the futures, or does that?
Yeah,
we
actually opened it up, you know, before the Super Bowl was played, and so that people that are here for the Super Bowl can bet it, and you know, it's not a lot of action. You know, people are concentrating on the game itself, but, you know, being in Las Vegas, when a lot of the people come out for either the Super Bowl every year, which is kind of getting to be a destination now, people tend to shy away from actually going to the game because of the cost, and depending on where the games are being held. And you know, for the price of a Super Bowl ticket, you can really have a good time in Vegas.
Yes. Yes, you can. I want to shift gears here real quick because, as folks know, you want to get out there. We had Steve Anderson from Fauner Park. It's opening day at Fauner, and Mandalay Bay treats everyone very well, but they love their horse race players. And this comes from James in Grand Island. He's got a horse racing question. Of course, if I can pull this up, he says, who you like in the Fountain of Youth tomorrow?
You know what? I haven't had time because of the Super Bowl and everything. I know Pletcher has like 1,700 horses ready to go to the Derby this year. And I will give you this advice. A lot of these trainers are starting to learn with these new point systems to point for one of these big races like the Fountain of Youth. And when you look for a Derby winner, you don't want to see a horse that's running a lot of races anymore. You'll see the horses that get in on the points and they peak on the Derby day. You don't want horses that are big favorites, everyone's favorites, that have run a lot of races. It's a little different than it used to be because of the point systems. You can run one or two key races and get into the Derby, and you don't have to worry about using your horse up. So, you know, big favorites that have run a lot of races, stay away from, and you can tell these trainers are starting to adjust too. And they're picking and choosing, trying to get in these big point qualifying races, so their horses, when they do get to the Derby, haven't been used up. And that's kind of a key in the Derby nowadays with these new systems.
What kind of play right now is there on Tiger Woods, the Masters? Are there any props? Does he ever come back? What is it like right now with Tiger Woods?
You know what? That's surprisingly, golf seems to be picking up on these future bets. We've had lots and lots of wagers over the last month or 2 months, more than usual, on to win the Masters. And I think part of that's because there's no clear-cut favorite, and Tiger isn't the chosen one and winning every tournament. Actually, one of the big questions we have from people on golf is, do you have a prop? We don't have it, but they want a prop. Will Tiger even win a tournament at all this year? And, you know, with his health problems and stuff, that's probably not a bad prop to go the other way. It's going to be tough for him to win. He's tinkering with his swing all the time. We've been getting lots of Masters bets on it, and it's kind of unusual, and I think that's probably because it's wide open. I kind of like Jimmy Walker. He's been dropping steadily out here for the Masters. He's gone from 40-1 to 15-1, and you know, Tiger's gone the other way. He was 18-1 when we opened up the Masters. He's up to 40-1, and I don't see any signs that Tiger's game's ready to get into the position where he wins a tournament, let alone a major tournament.
Mike Perenio is joining us here, the director of the Race and Sports Book at the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas. When Tiger was winning it all the time, I imagine you guys were taking some hits, even though the odds were low. Have you made money back? Have people been betting on Tiger? The big story a couple of weeks ago, that when he was in Phoenix, he was upwards of 50-1 in some houses.
Yeah, I mean, he's just when he was, you know, it was. Golf is hard. It's hard to win a golf tournament, but when he was on his roll, you know, we've never had odds like that on golf before, where he'd be 2-1, 3-1, and it took a long time for us to adjust when he was winning almost every tournament. I mean, even when some of those tournaments, you could get him at 6-1, and then towards the end, he was down to 2-1 or less even on some of those tournaments. And you know, a normal golf is if you're getting less than 15-1. It's not a good bet because anybody can win a golf tournament. But back then, it was just one of those things. It's kind of where we can't make the odds low enough, and people still bet, and he was winning everything, and it was tough on us when he was on the streak. And people still bet him because he's a popular golfer, but we're not so worried about putting odds out him on 40-1 to win a majors because with his swing, tinkering with his swing and his health problems, it's actually a good way for us to take some money in until we see something different from his game, and you're just not seeing it right now. It's kind of like the Cubs. people bet them, but
it's a shot to my heart.
Hey, they're way down this year. All the moves they made, and so my prediction is that the White Sox will win this year because the Cubs are on. Everyone thinks the Cubs are going to win.
More with Mike Perino for another minute here. I think we've each got another question and talk about what's coming up out at Mandalay Bay as well. And the Kentucky Derby's not that far away for horse racing fans. Let's take a look at baseball. Pitchers and catchers are there. Mike, first off, you got one for the fans out there. They always like to hear a prediction or a good odds team. And then where are the Cubs and Royals setting at this morning odds-wise?
You know what? The Royals, surprisingly, are not that good odds, but they did well last year. It's tough to repeat. The Cubs are down to 5-1, starting at 30-1. And I know they've made some moves, and they've got a good coach now, so a manager. So I think they'll improve. But when you're talking to win it all, it's tough. I'm kind of serious about the White Sox. I think they have a better chance of winning it. And they're 5-1 to win the pennant, and got the Cubs 5-1 to win the World Series. In hockey, I'm kind of leaning towards Pittsburgh on a future bet. And really, the team I like the best in the futures right now is the Washington Wizards in the East out of the NBA. They're currently 22-1. I think they've got a very good young team, and let's be honest, to win the East. It's not that difficult. The West is loaded, and if you can get them to the finals, you can always make money on the other side.
We had all the trades yesterday. Did you see any significant movement on the lines?
No. I mean, I do have some significant information today, though, that Syracuse just pulled itself out of the basketball tournament because they know they're going to get hammered by the NCAA, so they did a self-imposed they're not going to play in the tournaments this year, and so they're off the board completely, Syracuse in college basketball. And although they maybe didn't have a chance to win it, they're traditionally a good school. And they were, you know, at least when you get in the March Madness, a team can go deep if they have some decent talent. And Syracuse, although not the best like they used to be, they still had some good talent. But they're not even playing in the conference tournament. So coming down the line for Syracuse, there's going to be, when you self-impose penalties like that, you know there's something's coming down that's going to be pretty devastating.
We've got our Fanatics trivia question coming up, folks, so stay with us. So if I've got this Syracuse future ticket in my hand, is that a loser or is it a no bet?
All bets are action on future. That's built into the odds. If you know, all bets are considered action, there's no refunds as long as they declare a championship. And unless they canceled the tournament, then it would be a refund. But all bets are regardless of investigations or penalties or anything like that. It's action on those futures, and that's built into it. And,
you know what? Every investor or gambler thinks that they have been hosed every way possible. I'm guessing that would be a new way. You got a future ticket on Syracuse. All of a sudden, it's gone. It's gone.
Yeah, there's not too much you can do about that.
I can line the birdcage with it.
The worst bet is Kentucky minus $1.10 to win the NCAA tournament. If people are still betting that, unbelievably, when you can probably get them minus $1.10 on the championship game, maybe laying two or three points unless they're a huge favorite. But to lay $1.10 to win the tournament in a few weeks away is amazing to me.
Did you ever have a prop bet that they would go undefeated?
No, we didn't put that prop up. It's even the best UNLV team, which may have been one of the best all times, couldn't go undefeated the 1 year they lost to Duke. But the sleeper I like in there is Virginia. They've dropped a little bit. I did an interview and liked them a few weeks ago, and they were 20-1, but they're down to 10-1 now, Virginia. They've got the kind of the mix of great players, NBA quality players, and seniors and leaders. And that's a team I think has a shot. I'd rather take Virginia every day at 10-1 than Kentucky at minus 110.
Well, let's see what's going on at Mandalay. It looks like you had a beer dinner coming up next week. I think that just got a lot of people on the flight out there just for that alone. But what else is going on? I think you guys are trying to get ready for what could be a major fight if they could ever get that thing scheduled. But what's going on?
Yeah, that there'll be a major fight that week, and it's, the more they push that, the less chance it's going to happen. And that's always a great weekend with the Derby and the fight anyway. There's always a fantastic fight, and I think you'll see quite a bit of stuff going on. Big weekend this weekend. We got Bob Seger here, and believe it or not, that thing sold out way ahead of time. And an old guy like me, that's kind of amazing to me that that can sell out nowadays with all these younger groups and stuff going on. But yeah, we've got the March Madness coming up here, and you guys know you've been here many times. It's like the pool's getting ready to open. We're going to have round the clock entertainment. And sports betting and horse racing, you know, living here, I kind of take it for granted. But when you come to Mandalay Bay, you just don't ever have to leave. I mean, people come to Mandalay Bay, friends of mine and guests of mine, and I literally, they only go outside when they go to the airport and come in on the from the airport, and everything else is at your fingertips, and dinners and everything else. Since I got to Mandalay Bay, I think I've gained 15 pounds just from the nice dinners we have out here.
Well, there's nothing better than the Mandalay Bay, folks. So when you get a chance, stop by, see Mike in the Race and Sports Book. Tell him you're fans of the Doug and Daddy Show, you're from Nebraska, whatever the case may be. He always takes care of them. And, of course, horse racing season, they love the horse players. Next month, the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament, an awesome time to go out and watch all the games. And Mike, we'll chat with you again then, okay, buddy? Thanks so much for the time.
I appreciate it, and just so you know, your fans come out all the time. They stop by and say hi. They're the nicest people, and we appreciate it. And they tell them to keep on stopping by. I'd love to meet them.
Sounds good. They love coming out. So we'll see you soon, Michael. Thanks, man.
Got it.
Mike Perenio, Mandalay Bay, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Head coach Ty Swarm says that he would like to join us. We said, hey, come up after your last match. And can you believe it that the absolute last match of this round has a Kearney High wrestler in it there, Larry?
Yeah, Ledesma's down there, and in true Ledesma form, the second period's going to end here, and it's 1-0 Ledesma. He wrestles a lot of really close matches, and this is one Kearney needs. Kearney's done a great job. They've vaulted themselves now, I mean, almost 10 spots or whatever it was from last night. They're in third now, Doug. In Class A.
Coming up, we need to take care of Fanatics Friday Trivia. If you have not been a winner in the last 3 months, you are eligible. 888-455-3776. 888-455-3776. One winner per household every 3 months. You get an opportunity for a $25 gift card to Fanatics, where you can go in and watch all the games, watch all the horse races, car races, and I haven't even talked about Danica Patrick last night. I know. I looked at that in two different ways. We probably won't get into that much, but it does give them free publicity. I will talk about that. We'll talk about it when we come back, though. But our Fanatics Friday trivia, give us a call now, 888-455-ESPN. That's 3776, as Ledesma just won by a pin. And, folks, we would love to hear from you, and stop by Fanatics for their custom handcrafted pizza with your choice of toppings, great wings, a variety of appetizers. They even got food for the kids as well. One of their 23 high-definition televisions will have on what you want on at Fanatics. Here's the question. We were talking horse racing. How's your memory, folks? Who won last year's Kentucky Derby? Who won last year's Kentucky Derby? The name of the horse that won last year's Kentucky Derby. That's right. All the sports going on, opening day at Fauner Park. We've got a racing question. Who won last year's Kentucky Derby? Call now, 888-455-3776. We'll be right back.
All sports, one source, two stations. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
I'm a Ford guy. My dad was a Ford guy, and so was my dad's dad. But more to the point, I'm a Crossroads Ford guy. The pickup my dad used to teach me to drive came from Crossroads. The Ford my son will learn to drive comes from Crossroads, too. Why have I stuck by them? Because they've stuck by us. From regular maintenance to the repairs when the driving lessons don't go very well, Crossroads has earned our trust. Their family has always taken care of our family. Small enough to know you, big enough to help. Crossroads Ford in Kearney.
A better place to live doesn't have to be a dream. Not when there's somewhere where you can make new friends, have new things to see and do, and become a part of a caring community, all on the most affordable of terms. Affordable senior housing at Good Samaritan Society Goldbeck Towers makes this a reality to seniors 62 and older who meet HUD guidelines. Contact a housing professional at Goldbeck Towers for more information on affordable housing or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Cretin Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Cretin Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Cretin Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Cretin Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Falling asleep at the wheel again, baby. You're drifting over the line, yeah. Your hands are tied, but you're losing grip quickly. Fix me, can you read the signs?
Doug and Daddy's show, making another winner to wrap up the week. Plenty of winners here at the state wrestling tournament. But to Robin and Elm Creek, remember that California Chrome was the winner of last year's Kentucky Derby. Takes home the $25 gift card from Fanatics. We are here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, where it's Ram Truck Month, happening now at Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Stop in and check out the full lineup of Ram 1500, 2500, and 3500 trucks. They're on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, and of course they've got some of the President's Day sales going on from the manufacturer that even helps you out on your normal Midway Auto Dealership hassle-free prices. The Midway Auto Dealerships, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. And thinkmidway.com on this Friday. So, Larry, kind of working our way towards the end here. We do believe that Coach Ty Swarm, I know what's going to happen. We'll wait here about 5 minutes, and as soon as we don't think he's going to get here, then he'll pop in. But we hope to get a quick word with Coach Swarm. And stories from this morning, the bottom line is here, you just want to stay alive and survive and help your team out and try to get back to the medal round.
Yeah, and I think for the most part, most of our listening area guys have done that. I mean, some guys had some, ran into some tough spots and weren't able to advance, but we've saw, you know, Doug, you and I talked about this last week. We've talked about it a little bit on the air last night. Kearney did it. You know, they've put themselves back in play. Now, it's a tall hill to climb. It's 20 points, but they've put themselves back into play. They have a big night tonight. Because they didn't wrestle well, they're going to need some help, right? Millard South's going to have to falter a little bit.
The big boys are going to have, and with six semifinalists, I mean, you got to lose a lot of those if you're Grand Island and Millard South to have Kearney catch up, because there's just not a lot of points available.
Right, and I think for Kearney, it's a matter of leaving with a trophy. I mean, this new regime that's in there right now is just doing a dynamite job, and it would be good for their program to validate that a little bit by bringing home a trophy. I mean, you're talking about a program that's only, I won one state title in their history and don't have very many team trophies, Doug. So it would be a big deal for Kearney to do that. And these guys that are running the show right now at Kearney High are legit. And if they can just get that validation in that way, it'll go a long way.
I'll tell you what, Kearney just had a great round here. They had all of their kids but two, so they had 11 kids. Let me double check that. They had 10 kids in this round, if I got that right, because they've got two in the semis, and Zach Blasio got eliminated earlier this morning. Now, Salvador Aguirre fell 4-0, but then Jordan Bober wins 3-0. Ashton Arentz wins 3-1. Damon Rodriguez wins by pin in 2-11. Zane Hammaker wins 5-1. Trevor Bigelow wins 3-41. Trey Gruby got beat 9-0. Mason Merritt wins 44 seconds. Leo Paloma wins 5-2. Gabe Ledesma wins in 3:37. So Kearney High still has 10 of their wrestlers going.
Yeah, and I mean 10 tonight. That's what I'm saying. Like, you're now in a spot where regardless if you're on the outside, Matt, you win, you get placement points. If you're on the inside, Matt, and you win, that's winning the lottery, man, because, I mean, those are big points there, Doug. We talked about it and talked about it. If Kearney can get on a roll the way only they can, they will put themselves. 26 points is what they're behind, Doug. 25 and a half. It's a lot of points, but it is it's doable for them to get themselves in the top two here.
But now I think, to be in fairness, what will Grand Island need to accomplish? Because they've got a lot better chance than Kearney does right now. What do they need to do to accomplishment? How many guys can they get through tonight? You talked about it on our wrap-up last night.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, they've got winnable matches. I mean, I think at 126, they're in trouble. They've been pounded by that guy twice. Silva's got the Millard South kid, but he should get through. There's a couple of those. You know, they're going to be a little tough at 170 pounds. Billy Thompson's got to wrestle Markel Vaughn from Omaha North, who's the returning state champion. So Grand Island and Millard South, I mean, this is one of those deals where, as I talk about Kearney, Kearney needs help. And what it's a matter of, if you're Grand Island or Millard South and you take care of your business tonight, because, as you said, you have so many, they're going to separate, okay? But if they falter a little bit and Kearney gets going, this thing will come together. And I think the key here is, oddly enough, like I said last night, you just don't get in a situation where of the, what is there, 28 on one, Matt, and 28 on another as far as total semifinalists, right? You've got four of those matches, those 28 matches, Doug. 13 of those kids come from these two teams. They only match up once.
Yep.
That you don't see that. So this is where I'm saying where this thing could come together. It's not a matter of you have to go out and beat Millard South or Grand Island by yourself. You take care of your business, and you have to hope somebody falters. Millard South's going to be staring in their rearview mirror here the whole time, looking for Grand Island or Kearney to be getting beat. They know they can't take care of it by themselves.
Another stat, Grand Island, even though they have the six semifinalists, they have lost some wrestlers. They only have eight now. Kearney has 10 still going. In this round, John Model lost to Damon Rodriguez because these guys matched up a little bit.
Yes.
Joey Rodriguez lost to Mason Merritt. Dante Todd, though, is a winner, and Alan Sobota was a winner, 7-6.
That was one of the things I was going to say was Kearney actually took care of some of that business themselves in this last round. Kearney knocked out a couple Grand Island guys.
Well, a couple of more comments on what we're going to see here before we wrap things up. As we head into the semifinals tonight, even if it's not from our listening area, what are a couple of the stories that we're watching?
Class B, and I know, you know, it's nobody that we have directly involved, but if you're talking about just a wrestling story, it's a big story. You know, what, 17 years or 18 years, whatever it's been with Scut. They've only not won it one time. It is in jeopardy tonight. Looking at that, and of course the Class C race is going to be dynamite. And from our listening area, we have so many great individual stories, as we've talked about, as we named those kids off earlier. And how many of the nine semifinalists is an enormous number. How many can Amherst get?
That's going to be the story for them tonight, because they have got this thing wrapped up in the team race. By the way, Millard South 86.5, Grand Island 70.5, Kearney 60 right now in the Class A team
and
race.
And I just will say, again, if you can't be here, make sure you're listening tonight here, because, Doug, this place, if Kearney can get 10 guys going, if that town can get on a roll, that school gets on a roll, that town will blow the doors off this place, Doug. Kearney High can make it loud in an arena this big. And if they get on one of those rolls, you'll hear the crazy chants that I mean, nobody does it like Kearney does it if they can get that going. And that literally is something to watch tonight, because it will direct where this Class A thing goes.
One other thing I wanted to mention, because when the Hall of Fame list came out, and because you got a little more history on this and mentioned and thank all the folks that have been kind with their words, but you had a few comments on some of the other folks that will be inducted this summer to the Nebraska Scholastic Wrestling Coaches Association Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's a great class, Doug. And, of course, they are every year, but this is a really great class. We get Doug Bohr from Albion. Doug Bohr was a guy in the early 90s, late 80s, very tough, three-time state champ, was just brutal. You know, Casey Cole from Omaha Scut Catholic, a four-time state champ. But Mitch Manstead, you know, Mitch Manstead did something. Of course, that's Coach Manstead's youngest son. He did something that's just very hard to do. He was a three-time state champion and a four-time finalist, all at heavyweight. That means as a freshman, he made the finals at heavyweight and, of course, wins it as a sophomore. Wrestled and played football at Nebraska, and he's coaching with his dad. So very, very nice to see that. Lee Schroeder, of course, from Howells, won all those state championships. He's now coaching at West Point Beamer, but he was the head coach at Howells and took a group of guys and just made them tough as nails. Did a great job. And Jay Manili from Millard South. When we talk about this Omaha Scut Catholic dynasty, what a lot of people don't realize is it was Jay Manili's little kids program that started that thing. Jay Manili was a Scut guy. He, you know, of course, his son was a four-time state champion for Omaha Scut. Three-time Division II national champion. It was all those kids that Jay Manili was shoving into the Scut program that started that thing. Then when Manili took his kids program from Scut to Millard South won three or four state titles in a row. Here they are, maybe going to win Class A. He's in the corner, so he's been huge with youth wrestling as far as that goes. Dwayne Skiles from North Platte, great official, wonderful man. And I would be remiss to say wrestling is getting a great guy in Doug Duda in this class, and I really do mean that. You and I get the opportunity and the pleasure to be able to work with you in football games and the wrestling coverage that we do, and it's a tremendous thing. But as a coach, Doug, and a lifelong wrestling guy in the state of Nebraska, you'll never know, and we had this discussion a little bit the other night because you're a fairly humble guy and want to aw shucks it, you'll never know what you've done for our sport and the publicity and the visibility that a sport that didn't get it and still doesn't in a lot of places. I mean, I look down here and I see all these boards. I see headsets all up and down here. Doug Duda was one of the very first. Doug did this wrestling rally. Bring your kids in. And I mean, Doug fills that little studio with all the crazy things and all the interviews. And you've really helped our sport. And I believe that the Hall of Fame is built for somebody that's transcendent. Not somebody that just was around long enough. Somebody that really did something. You know, when I brought up very specific things as I talked about this class, Doug Duda, you did something that others weren't doing, and you've helped a lot of kids, a lot of grandmas that otherwise never would have had it. So the wrestling community is very lucky to have this class, and the wrestling community in Nebraska is very lucky to have Doug Duda.
30, 50, 100, 150. Okay. That was the agreed-upon amount, wasn't it? Larry, thanks for the kind words, man. It's always great. We're looking forward, folks, to doing tonight's semifinal round once again. We've been here doing it 17 years, so let's just keep on doing it. From the Devaney to the CenturyLink to the Quest, which what it was named before that. It doesn't matter what the building is. There will be a lot of excitement tonight. We'll hit the airwaves around 4:45 on Classic Hits 98.9. And online at PlatteRiverPreps.com. We will be going wall-to-wall with the area kids. And, of course, Bill Lance will be joining our coverage as well. He has connections all over the state. It's really cool, from David City to Ainsworth Valentine to Hyannis and everywhere in between. So there are a lot of great stories and a lot of great history that will be coming your way tonight as we attack the 2015 state wrestling semifinals. That's going to wrap things up. Coach Swarm, I kind of figured it's tough to get to our venture point, so he'll get the kids ready and get them on out of here. And folks, we thank you. As there it is, see, he's calling my cell phone right now.
Yeah.
We do want to thank Mike Perenio from the Mandalay Bay for joining us on the program today. We would also like to thank Steve Anderson, the voice of Fauner Park. Enjoy the racing, everyone. Coming back Monday on the Doug and Daddy Show, we're going to be talking a variety of different topics, recapping the state wrestling tournament. I believe Gene Beerbaum's coming in to talk about the Turkey Federation. They've got their back.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!
Banquet coming up. Of course, Pheasants Forever. We had Jimmy Purcell on. Don't forget that their banquet is tomorrow night at the fairgrounds in Hastings. Whatever you're doing, enjoy it, and we will talk to you Monday here on the Doug and Daddy Show.